And
all right.
Action.
And action. It's the Songs and Stories Action Podcast. Devin, take off run. We do all kinds of stuff.
Have you ever seen that guy, that comedian who does the slow-mo soccer thing? That stuff, yeah. That stuff's so funny to me.
He goes, go!
I was watching Dumb and Dumber recently, and there's so many parts of that movie that you just forget about or that are funny.
Yeah.
You know, there's just every little thing of those. Those are stretch of movies in the 90s, and it was just so funny. But there's a part in the car where he's doing the
yeah, yeah.
It looks like you're running at an incredible rate, Harry. It's so funny.
The first scene they shot in that was the scooter scene.
The first scene?
Yeah, I think they shot the scooter of them being stuck together from the frozen pee. I think it was the first scene they shot for day one.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's what I wonder. Like, okay, I don't know if y'all watched Saturday Night Live. Did y'all watch the Shane Gillis Saturday Night Live?
I've seen a couple skits, but I hadn't watched the whole episode.
I just really didn't think it was that great. And I think Shane Gillis is funny, but it was interesting. Like, and it really felt like most of the cast didn't want him there, maybe. Or I just felt like a cold shoulder vibe right from the beginning. To his comedy, and that's fine, but it just, like, a movie like Dumb and Dumber wouldn't be made today, right? Like, that, but obviously it still resonates. Why those movies resonate like that, something about Mary, what, you know, like, goofy movies like that. Like, they do them still, I think, but nobody watched them. Like, there's been a few, like, I watched the Jennifer Lawrence one. It's supposed to be kind of a romantic comedy, but it was okay, but, like, it didn't feel like it really tapped into anything like, oh, that's really funny. And I know probably a lot of people would say, oh, that's just white guy humor or whatever. But obviously Saturday Night Live isn't as, like, who can you name on Saturday Night Live? Like what person is going on to do big things? What, you know, why everybody goes, Keenan's been on there, you know, Keenan. I don't, he's okay. He sometimes makes me laugh, but I mean, he tried to do his own show. It didn't work. Like, none of them are like, you had to get the guy that you fired to come and host, and none of them are ever going to host, and they're going to disappear almost. Maybe one or two might end up doing something, but they're going to disappear. They're not memorable characters. Yeah. Like, I listened to Fly on the Wall with David Spade and Dana Carvey. Think about the top five best Saturday Night Live characters. Who are the top five that you're like, oh my gosh, that's the echelon? Just do top four, like Mount Rushmore. The Mount Rushmore of people where you're like, if I'm going to watch Saturday Night Live, this is the person I know is going to make me laugh. Who's in there?
Most people are going to say whoever it was when they were about 17 years old, whoever the cast was. But I think if you pick them out of that, there's probably a Bill Murray time, maybe somebody else. Chris Farley, Will
John
Ferrell.
John Belushi. Some people might say Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, as far as it goes, Will Ferrell's in there.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy was on there. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Eddie Murphy was
Eddie Murphy,
awesome.
Chris Farley, Will Ferrell.
Adam Sandler.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
That's enough.
I mean,
Adam Sandler. About Dana Carvey? Dana Carvey's unreal. Dana Carvey has to be on there. Like, I did some of the late, but like, I thought Kristen Wiig was just amazing. Like,
yeah, she was great.
You know, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. Those, I mean, they're so, Sherry O'Terry, I always made me laugh.
Yeah, I think there's just a little bit of, there's definitely people who have been on there who are, I think, are just more memorable and more talented in a way. And then also, kind of like what Matt said, I don't know if younger people, this is their Saturday Night Live. They don't really, like, the way that the early 80s people felt to me in the 90s, I didn't quite understand it, and then eventually it kind of made more sense to me, you know, with comedy and everything. But with a lot of people now, I feel like their people are now or the early 2000s, and then our batch of people like Farley and Sandler and Spade and then Ferrell, they didn't make as much sense to them, but maybe eventually it will. So
yeah,
it's just, you know,
I don't think that's the case now, though. I mean, I don't think the show is maybe. I mean, you can't really say that a show should be good for 40 years.
Right, right.
It's just, how could it be good? How could one thing that starts in whatever year keep the same format across that much cultural change and be good? It doesn't even make sense why they're constantly changing
the skits and the content and the
but the container the container hasn't changed, but everything else in the world has. So it nothing lasts for what show's 40 years old and still good.
Right.
I mean, is season 40 of The Simpsons possibly good, as good as earlier? Can't be.
I don't know.
Even if you change the writer, I mean, so. It can't be. Yeah.
Does that go for bands too?
Of course it does. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's my point. Is like you, it can't.
So nobody believes what a band goes. Honestly, it's probably our best record.
Well, I mean, it's possible.
It might be the best record, but the audience can't look at it.
I'm saying it might be the best record to somebody who's introduced to it at a certain point. You know what I mean? That might just be the best record to them. I don't think we would say The Week's End is necessarily like, as far as just straight musicality. I don't know if I would say it's better than something like Rub Some Dirt on It. I'd say it hit harder in the right time and place.
That's the right reasons.
And I'm
right.
Now maybe some of those songs are better and some just aren't, but it just all depends on the where you inject it into society.
But exactly. If you take three or four of our best records and drop them in January of 2004, they crush. The same.
Yes.
Or maybe more than The Week's End. But only if you put them in that time and place.
In that time and place.
Yeah. Right.
But then we have several records that would have – there's probably records we have that if you'd have put them out the day The Week's End came out, they'd be bigger.
But what about like with sketch comedy, like Saturday Night Live, other sketch shows do great. You know what I mean? They are funny.
The content is
like Shane Gillis's sketch show that he does on YouTube or whatever, there's a lot of funny bits. I mean, they do a lot of funny stuff, but maybe it's because weekly it's hard to do. But
yeah, but this I really think it's more to do with a format, a container, the DNA of the show can't change.
Yeah,
it can't change. A news Mad TV can come and be a show, or In Living Color can be a show, but there are different shows. But Saturday Night Live can't become that. It can only be this. And anybody that's, I mean, the funniest people aren't going to that show now, but they used to.
Right.
It's not that the show, it's that the people that even want to do it or could do it or would do it under the conditions of today, the top talent isn't trying to go to that show.
Right. And that's pretty recent. I mean, I would say.
And that's just a part of the landscape.
Even Shane Gillis was on the show and wanted to be on the show. That was like his goal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now he understands that it's more than just that. Like, that doesn't matter, obviously. So. But, you know, I agree with you. I think that container has lost a little bit of its relevancy. It'd be interesting to see the data on ages that watch Saturday Night Live still.
Yeah. There's a sports relevance, like of what sports the top talent is attracted to and what, like, think of the, or what art form do certain people go to when that art form is popping off.
Right.
You know, I mean, and really, if we, I mean, if we were getting out of college now, would you try to be in a screamo band or even a band at all?
God, no.
Like, would we try to be band dudes to go on tour if we got out of college
now? I would try to do country. I would definitely, if we were coming out, I think that's probably the route to go. I mean, like, because there's some weird, like, this is funny. I was going to run this by y'all anyway, but Chuck. What's his name? It was on Bill Simmons. Who's the guy that writes the books that you love?
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. I always get him and the guy that wrote Fight Club mixed up. That's Chuck.
No, but that's Palahniuk. Klosterman is on Bill Simmons.
Klosterman. Yeah. I like Klosterman. Chuck Klosterman.
I love
I
Klosterman.
And he said, were we just living in an age, just it was a short time where your parents and other people didn't like the same music. And now like Taylor Swift is an example of everybody's going to like the same music. But I was like, I think everybody's too niche now. I think it's more like no one can get as big as her probably. No, like who was, they posed the question on that podcast, Bill Simmons show. Is she more famous than Michael Jackson?
And
Chuck goes, definitely.
Definitely.
She can sell out like stadiums six nights in a row.
Yeah,
and the Beatles couldn't even, like when you think about that and think about it, not only are tickets more expensive, they are maybe 100 times more expensive. Like if you went to see the Beatles back in the day, it might have been expensive ticket might have been $6. You know what I mean? Like for real. Like now, I mean, her tickets were hundreds and hundreds. Some people pay thousands. Some people put on like PayPal so they didn't have to leave and miss one moment to go pee. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. And now Michael Jackson might have had more worldwide fame.
Fame like was worldwide. Feels like fame was a little different. You know what I mean? It was everybody screaming and passing out. And I know there's still girls that do that when they see Swift. It's very intense. But people are way more accessible now. So it feels like a little less like magical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yes, not apples to apples, but she's definitely.
But that's why she's done something that's unbelievable. She's 35 years old, but she still seems like she might be a teenager in some ways. But she's obviously a brilliant business person. I mean, all the moves she makes, like remember Kanye and Kim were down there and this and that, but she lived right through that and probably even helped her. She stood tall. She writes songs about ex-boyfriends. You know how many other artists have done that? They're like, oh, you're shitting on them or something. Like, no, the people just get her all across the age group. And I do wonder, like, you're right. If you were going to do music or whatever, maybe you would try to, is that what people are now? Is it like a pop time where like, remember the 90s where there was boy bands? And so maybe you thought everybody's going to should be in a boy band or something that's working.
Yeah. I just mean the window when we entered trying to be a touring band and we saw people playing shows for 40 people at a pizza joint and said, that's what we want to do. That's not even the same thing we would have thought in 2006 if we got out of college.
Right.
Right.
If we got out of college in 2006 and that had already happened, I don't even know if that's what we would have been attracted to. Because remember those people trying to be in local bands in 2007 and 8, how silly that seemed?
Oh, I know.
Might have seemed silly to us too. It only was cool because it didn't even exist yet.
Well, if we did it now, we would only be trying to get huge on social media and that would be our goal. It wouldn't be play shows for people until that became a goal.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't, like we would just be trying to grow as many followers and be as many views as possible and as many Spotify plays, whatever. It'd be more.
But I think we'd have had a different goal. I think we would have done something obnoxious and weird and undergroundy in this time.
Possibly.
Yeah. Like we wouldn't have tried to compete with the most commercial, shallow social media accounts to make our band big. That would have seemed stupid because it is stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely stupid. Lost some of that. It's definitely lost some of the luster for sure over the past
few years. Other interesting thing is if you just go back a few years earlier, if our career would have started in 91 instead of 2001, we would have not done either. Our music wouldn't have made it. There wouldn't have been the internet. We would have played a few local shows and given up. We wouldn't have moved to Seattle and tried to, you know what I mean? There weren't cell phones. I mean, like the technology even allowed us to go, we can move far away and focus on this band and see what we got and stuff like that. Like just, we were in a window and maybe that's kind of what he was saying as well. Maybe there was a window of time from like, probably I would say 95 to about 22 now where you could be in a band and try it and see what would work. And you could make a decent living or enough to keep you on the road and, you know, and stay out and do stuff. But otherwise, no. And you're right.
There's a window of time on any art form. Usually, that's why I think Saturday Night Live is an anomaly. Almost it'll even last this long is insane. But where there's no chance, and then there's a window. When that window closes shortly after, there's no point. It goes from there's no chance, there's nothing you can do. It's all gate kept. To
okay, how about this?
Well,
thought
there's no point.
This idea. Okay, made me want to make a movie about us. What do you think? Us as a team, an entity, Emory. If we met in every century or a certain span, would we have been successful? Like Gregorian chant.
In my mind,
somehow
we
got together and there's Gregorian chant.
That's exactly how I think
you
about
know,
it.
We do. Right. Like, you know, we do. Nickel in my pocket. And, you know, like, the 30s, 40s.
I really
40s
don't
music.
Think it's. Would, I really don't us, think.
Well, we've always made it to a certain level.
I don't think 100% of the time. I think there's probably a percentage that's higher than most people.
Yeah.
There's a stat to it, but I like to think of it. You have all of world history. Like some of it, a lot of them wouldn't even been music related. Might be a political movement in some period or a revolt of something or a agricultural breakthrough. You know,
that would be such a
just
fun.
But this the oddball, whatever the energy and the feeling of that would do that's countercultural, but just this way based on what it is. Like, you know, in my fantasy,
that's like
there's
that's
a version
like the
of it
future,
for everything.
That's like future Survivor, you know, or something like a simulated kind of game to where like 100 years down the road, they go, you can travel in time or whatever. And the game is to survive in different eras.
Yeah.
So they send people to get back success. To.
Oh, that to will be a virtual game for
success
sure.
That's in the 90s.
Sure. It's an archetype thing, like in the way that you throw me anywhere or throw Toby anywhere is going to gravitate in that situation to the class clown like thing. Even if we weren't in a class, it's still that thing emerges, and then you put it together in these ways, and then the path so of how what we naturally are. Mm-hmm. And then what we naturally are together, how that interacts with the cultural territory, that's the pattern. That's the level of the pattern.
That'd be so funny. Cool. That would be a very cool, like, we should even do that for another record. Like, we just write a song from each, we challenge ourselves to write a song from each, I don't know, I guess it would be century, half century or last 100 years. So we write 10 songs from each. So when we start 1,000 years ago, what?
Now you could do decades. That'd be easier. You know what I mean? Like just decades.
It'd be a little easier.
That's true.
Yeah.
Go back 10 decades or something.
So you could write. Yeah. Music from the. Yeah. That's true. So we go all the way back to 1923. And we find the music of that, and then we go to the 1930s, 40s, all the way to. I mean, well, that'd be 100 years, right? So that'd be a cool thing to try. Just no matter what, you got to write a
centuries
have to write
would
a
be
song
so because you would get back, like, you go one century, and then you're a totally different music. I mean,
know.
What do you think happened between the 4th and 5th century that's any different?
Right.
I don't know. You're right.
You get classical, then you go back. I don't know.
But that's because that didn't even happen until the 16th century, 17th century before it
saying.
Even starts.
But you got a few centuries.
In the paradigm you're used to.
That's what's his name's joke? What is his? I can't think of the comedian's name, but the nickel in my pocket. That's
Kyle Dunnigan.
Joke. Yeah, Kyle
and
Dunnigan.
Dad's like, turn that down.
Yeah, like, can you imagine being all those years ago and this guy over here? You go hang out, and this guy goes, and you're like, oh, wow, this is dope. Okay. Or then, everybody's like, let's worship. It's insane.
You know what's really likely is that, or at least I believe this, is that music where you get the Gregorian chant and only unison and all the rules, and then eventually there's harmony, and then eventually it's something, eventually you get to Baroque. That's the formal, what's allowed by these societies. But the doing of the singing that's like expressive, like predates even language.
Right.
So, that just like birds sing. And so part of it, you know, it's likely that in the intonations in our voice and all of this verbal communication and singing and music, it was really expressive even 20,000 years ago, 80,000 years ago.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like singing, like more like a mating call, in which case that thing that you do on stage that all the women swoon for, that wasn't in the formal society of the chant. Hell fucking no. You're not allowed to act like that in church.
Yeah.
Or in society, in the formal ways, but probably always existed that people using their voice in that way that people connect to that's, you know, got a sexualness to it as part of selection and mating and even singing and music from war drums to mating singing. It predates even language, like not even before we had words.
And the sounds that they were making.
It resets to nothing. And then we have to act like we invented music a couple hundred years ago. But
the sounds they were making were probably really the ones that are really natural and authentic to you too. Like now, we sing
more lyrics.
We're
getting closer back to that now.
Yeah, you're right. I think we're headed back that way in a way because that was the thing that you did the same way as a cat purrs when it's happy or whatever. There's some sound that you made and somebody put a beat to it or. You know,
and it's seen as profane and obscene, and that's why the grandpa says, "Don't you turn that down? What are you doing?" What are you doing with your voice like that? Why are you flashing your tits and dancing about it? You can't dance. What do you think? Dance got invented and they freaked out about it a couple decades ago?
Yeah, right.
No. You ever seen animals do a dance, a bird do a fucking dance thing?
Yeah.
On a nature show? Cool. Like, it's not, that's not new.
And there's probably something to that, too, that it relates to young people. Like, young people get it in a way that old people don't want to go back there, or it scares old people.
Exactly.
Now, they used to be that, but now I'm not. I'm an adult. I got my shit together. Don't make me go back to that. I can't go back to that because I'll be silly and a kid, but then you
That's right. We pretend like emo is new, but it'd be old.
It was funny last night. I was watching NBA game, and Chuck and Shaq and Kenny and those guys were on in between halftime, and it was funny because Charles Barkley just got social media for the first time, so they were making fun of him and joking about sliding into DMs. He's like, I don't know what that is, y'all gotta tell me what that is. And all this stuff, and it was funny because then the term emo came up, so there wasn't Ernie's like the main guy, but there was another guy there last night, but he was like, he asked Charles Barkley, you ever heard of emo? And Charles goes, no, I don't know what that is. And he goes, you know, it's the kind of, it's like short for emotional. It says the kind of music where they say, oh, love me, love me. And he like verbally made fun. That's you know, awesome. He wasn't like making fun directly, but he was kind of like just poking fun at like what it is. And I was like, that's pretty funny. I mean, and Shaq and Barkley were just dying laughing about it.
That's amazing that it's reached. I mean, that, you know, this is where we are. So let's promote our shows too. But how has it reached this point? And it's, you know, I'm not so sure. I'm just not so sure where it goes. It like where emo and this thing that we've been in as a big, in the big sense, like it's, I mean, you have to understand it's in music history.
Yeah. Right.
If it's that, if it like it went in 2005, it wasn't talked about an NBA show.
Right. Oh, right.
It wasn't, you know what I mean? It was something, and then it was something, and then it was in the mall and Hot Topic, and now it's reached a higher place, and now we have more shows than ever and are getting paid more than ever to play the week's end. I mean, something, and that's just us. So, you know, remember when it was like, there was grunge, that was a big thing, but nobody talks about it anymore. And then the same counterculture stuff was people doing goth, but that didn't really, goth didn't really.
Yeah.
It made it to where people understood what the goth aesthetic is.
That turned into more of just a type of style or something.
That was a placeholder between grunge and emo.
You don't think about goth music. You just think goth person.
Goth person, right.
And now emo is like, I'm not saying it's as big as grunge, but it's close.
Maybe.
It's close. It's not as revolutionary, but it's
there. You have to thank Jimmy Butler a little bit. He did the hair picture. Yeah, yeah, and he called himself Emo Jimmy. Now he's in a Fallout Boy video.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, just that level of cultural buzz. And it's weird that it took 20 years, but if it took this long, if it incubated and lasted, and I mean, when people remember when we first heard emo, it's like, oh, that thing you said, it's like for emotional. It's like, yeah, what? But that's all music's always ever been. That's all it's ever been for. Yeah. That's the only reason anybody's ever done music. And finally, somebody just said the fucking point of it.
Yeah.
So it's that, like, it's actually pretty dead on, and I don't really expect it to go anywhere. You know, I'm not saying it's new. There's just a certain cultural reason that the heavy, aggressive sounds plus the emotional lyrics all work or whatever. But it really kind of took this long to really go directly after it in some way. So you kind of expect that word and that idea to stick around for maybe a long time. Pretty cool.
Yes,
we're going to be playing some emo shows.
We are.
Who are we playing with?
Well, we're playing with the Almost.
Ooh.
And
they're playing with us, kind of.
Yeah, they're playing with us. And
literally.
It's really fun. And I think I complimented you, Matt, on the last tour. But, man, I really enjoyed listening to it because I thought you and Chris and Dave really played really well with them, and it was really fun. The show sounded really great.
It was a good vibe.
You're really good on bass, so it was
fun. Playing bass is fun.
Yeah, it is.
I love it.
It's a lot of fun
because I get to control the subwoofers, and that's what everybody likes about a live show is that feeling of that big bass. And there's the kick drum that goes tick 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 tick, and then the rest of the subwoofers is controlled only by me. like all of the low end big ass fucking energy is just me blasting that whole crowd.
That's cool.
That's why I like
bass. It's fun because I like it because it looks like all three of y'all are having fun. Like you get to be in this band. Like you don't you're not.
Yeah, it's easy.
Just, you know what I mean? Like it's just something like you get to do that. You know, like somebody that doesn't play drums gets to play drums with their favorite band or something. You know what I mean? Something like that. Yeah. It's just that you are gonna have more fun.
Yeah,
so that's really cool. Yeah,
we're gonna be playing the Weeks in full, and I'm sure we'll probably play a couple more songs. We'll have to figure out. We're still right now. We're figuring out our set lists. We're gonna be practicing here for the next week and a half. Well, I guess it's a couple weeks still, and getting all that stuff figured out. So it's gonna be fun. We're gonna play the Weeks in. They're gonna play the Southern Weather. Bad Luck's on the tour. We're doing the Southeast down to Florida in March. It's like March. Let me think. I don't have the dates in front of me. It
starts on the 13th.
14th.
In Augusta. 13th or 14th, yeah.
Yeah, it goes to like the 19th or 20th, I think, right? No? Something like that. Anyway, it's all on emerymusic.com. We're playing in May, and that's the Midwest, which we haven't been to the Midwest in a long time. Like, we haven't played Chicago and Detroit as a full band in years.
I know.
So I'm expecting you guys to show up. I'm expecting
you better show up.
People.
Chicago, please show up because I think my girlfriend and maybe her family's coming.
Oh, that's
so.
That's a big one.
I need my kids might even be
you don't
there.
Be embarrassed.
Are your kids going to come to that? Them, or maybe the
No, I don't think so. We're potentially playing a little closer this summer. We can't show you. If so, they'll come to some of those. But
you're right.
But that's that's a big one. Your girlfriend's family's coming. And I wonder what their expectations are. What do you think they expect?
Well, they're huge music people. Like her mom and dad both that's how they met in a band. Her dad's a great guitar player. Mom's a piano player, singer. Great. They're good at music. So I'm a little intimidated, but they're rockers too. Like their favorite bands like Pearl Jam and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like they know every band, been to every show.
Even if they don't like our music, there's an energy that people
enjoy. I don't know if they'll love the music, but I think they will like our voices. And they might like some of the music for sure, but I don't know if they would, if they're super happy about screaming or would choose to listen to screaming, but other than that,
it's always interesting the first time people come to watch us because people don't really understand like the levels of being in a band. And so you get there and you're like, they're like a real band.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of people here that all are listening and want to be there. So that's kind of cool when that happens. But we'll be in the Midwest, May. We got lots of stuff happening this year that hasn't been announced yet, but we've confirmed a lot of stuff. So we are excited to be able to do all this stuff. So, and also if you join Emeryland, you get discounts on our pre-show tickets and you can bring two guests. You don't have to be in Emeryland to get the tickets, but you get a discount if you do. We got merch that Toby's shipping out starting to print here pretty soon. We shall see. So that'll be cool. And then if you join Emeryland, you get part two of this podcast, which we just talked about. Insane.
We get filthy.
Just real dirty.
It's nasty. It's the nasty side of some
sometimes
of
I can't even.
It's all sex stories from the road. and what really sucks is not is none of ours. It's always like our old bass player Joel. Maybe Josh has a few. That's about it. Thank God Chris joined our band. A single guy. At least he's got
us. Yeah, that bumped us up on the coolness.
Yeah.
But so if you join Emeryland, you get the extra podcast, you get video specials, you get extra music. We're working on some demos now. We're trying to make our way through some stuff. Had kind of a fun one come up recently that I've enjoyed listening to, and I want to finish it on my end pretty soon, hopefully. So I'm excited to do some of that stuff.
Yeah. All right. Are we doing any song roasting?
Let's do it. We haven't done it in a while.
Well, we could flip over. We could be done. We just finished part one.
Did we?
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Well, okay. Sorry, all you
non-Emeryland
people.
Just cut there before that and we wrap that and we'll go to part two.
Okay.
Do we want to do a song roast on part two?
We can, yeah. That's fine.
If y'all want to.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right. So You come to our shows. We're going to be in. I don't even. Did we say where we were actually going to be?
All right, I'll say it here. With Atlanta. I'll just say the name of the cities, and you can figure out the dates yourself. But in March, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to be in Augusta, Atlanta, Pensacola, Tampa, Orlando, West Palm Beach, Ponte Verde, Birmingham, Memphis, and Nashville.
All right,
those are the ones coming up.
We'll see y'all there.